Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's
calling. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, December 18th, 2018. 7 days to Christmas.
It's hard not to stumble over those words.
The countdown continues. Wow, just a few days away from the Singing Men of GNN and the Great News Radio Children's Choir singing this Saturday. I know we talked a lot about it yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
And if you missed the program, it was a wonderful program because Kathleen Jennings read her story, The Christmas Truce, and we got to talk about that and what happened during World War One and how they stopped in the midst it was on Christmas, but they stopped in the midst of that mayhem, the terrors of war, and sang and shared and talked, and for a moment in the midst of a war, there was peace.
I think I mentioned it yesterday. I love that phrase, the occasional outbreak of peace.
Yeah, that happened along the lines, the front lines.
Yeah.
During her reading, she was talking about at points where they could even hear each other, and they were so close, these front lines, that they could smell each other's food that was being cooked.
And they went out and buried their dead without being shot. And my goodness.
Yeah, that's in the December
issue. War is terrible,
issue.
Mark.
Yeah. December issue of the Prime Life Times. If you miss our Monday editions, we generally read a story or two, some of the content that's in it. It's a free publication that's in over 200 area locations from Walmart's, Rantoul, Urbana, Savoy, Champaign, and Danville. Yeah, that's five. And we're in some Casey gas stations. We're in Carl Hospitals.
McDonald's,
yeah. Three in Danville, one in Georgetown.
Beef House, head on over.
Yeah, Beef House.
Still time to get there before Christmas.
IGA, Schnucks, all over the place.
Yeah.
So we thank God.
Panera
Bread. Yep. So if you need a location that's near your home, if you go to our website, primelifetimes.com, you can click on the distribution link, and then it's sorted by city. So lots
We're
of
organized
locations.
Like that.
Yeah, very organized. So very, very organized here.
I'll say it again.
Yeah. We're so organized. We're organized.
What are we doing?
Yeah. So what's next? What are we going to announce today? Do we have anything new?
We've ruined it for ourselves by saying that.
Yeah, last week we announced Memorization Mondays.
I'm still excited.
Working on that.
Hey, people are talking about that already.
Oh, I know. Kate Freeman, we got to treat her and Huey out. Kate's our director of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. In fact, that's another announcement.
Oh, we got to get there
Friday,
and talk about that, too.
A few days away, we're going to re-air It's a Wonderful Life as produced by almost 50 local cast members, and you'll hear it in its entirety. It'll begin during Mark and Friends, and then I'll have to preempt the next program and a half, but you'll hear it. It's like an hour and 27 minutes
Wonderful.
Or whatever. It's
Break
great.
Out the popcorn,
it's the sound
the hot
effects.
Chocolate.
You're going to enjoy it, so that'll
and
be this
people
Friday.
People can still order the CDs, right?
Yeah, order the CDs, and in fact, if they make a donation, realizing that the postage is about $5. So, you know, don't give a $4 donation. We're losing money on it. I guess you can. I mean, your donation is appreciated, but realize
it'll
cost almost $5 to mail it to you. We'll do it first-class postage in a nice little cardboard reinforced holder.
Will you have some out at the concert?
Yeah, there'll
be mall?
Some at the concert. So if you stop by and make a donation, we'll put one in your hands. They're great stocking stuffers. They're great gifts.
Yeah.
It's very well done. I think Holly was telling Kate, she's listened to it almost 20 to 30
oh,
times.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, she really loves it. It's the sound effects. It follows the It's a Wonderful Life theme and story. And it's really, really a delight. So that'll be this Friday. But you can get your own edition, your own copy, by coming to Marketplace Mall this Saturday. Or, for that matter, we have them here at the Great News Radio Center at Lincoln Square. So just phone first to make sure we're here, because we're running lots of errands in and out all the time.
And you were talking about the Monday memorization, and then we got off on this.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm still working to see if I can get the books discounted. They haven't gotten back to me yet.
Hmm.
And then also seeing about scripture memory packets, you know, maybe having those available and how we'll launch into it with some readings. I've talked to a couple people that do a lot of scripture memory, and if they would come in and maybe read a portion of that and how it all come together. But I have a couple more weeks before the new year, so.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But people don't have to be great at it to join in.
Oh, no. And in fact, I've been working on this one. John 1:14, for whatever reason, that's a tough
Do
one.
Do it now, Mark.
No, I have some of the other ones. Oh, so much pressure, so much pressure.
You look so pressured.
But there's some other runs that I have really well. And out of the first 10, I think I have about six or seven of them.
Good.
So I'm getting them along. But I work on them each night. I have one wherever my wallet is. I have it in a little scripture memory packet. That one I've been working on. That one's, let's see if I can remember that one. It's John 3:35, I think. But it's the one, it's Jesus is speaking, and they come and show up to where he had just healed someone, and somebody says, hey, your mother and brothers are outside, you know, and they're probably coming to say, hey, what are you doing, Jesus? You know, we need to take you home.
I love your rendition of the scripture. Yeah. Hey, somebody's
very
outside,
loosely.
And somebody come up and said, Jesus, what are you doing outside?
And so he said, whoever does For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Now, this is Jesus speaking.
That's great.
So when I came across that, I thought, well, Jesus is saying, for whoever does the will of God, I want to be about that.
Mm-hmm.
He is my brother and sister and mother. And I thought, we could, in a sense. Now, he's holy, he's sovereign, he's Lord, he's God.
Right.
And yet, if we're doing the will of God, in a sense, Jesus is saying, you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my mother. And I thought, I want to be that.
Yeah.
And so I want to do God's will.
That's so great. That's very inspiring.
That was one of those verses that I just said, I'm just going to memorize that one on the side.
Yeah,
so I'm pretty close. I think I got that one down. I got the reference
right. That reminds me of that scripture that Paul wrote to Timothy, I think. Treat older men as your father, treat the women as your sisters, treat the young men as your brothers, treat women as your mothers.
So
very
this
cool.
one. So we'll say more about it in the coming days, but
I got some memorization people are excited.
Yeah, I know some other people that said, you know, they're not good at it, but they want to get involved and have the scriptures in their minds and hearts. And so I'm trying to read at least a few of them, maybe 10, before I go to bed each night. And I don't know if it's helping me sleep, but I don't know. I sure slept great last night. So I work on a few of those, so they're in your brain, you know. And
well, your subconscious even is taking that in.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, let our subconscious, let our conscience, let our minds and hearts take in River Washing.
River Washing.
Chapter 28, Memories of an African Son, a great Christmas gift, stocking stuffer. In fact, the other day, I think it was Thursday, the conversational English class, some gal came in, a woman came in, a lady came in.
I had a little store going over there.
I think she wanted like three books or something.
Yeah, somebody else got one.
That's great. So those are available here at the Great News Radio Center. Mary Ann Simpkins is the author, our Director of Creative Services, our Editor-in-Chief, the CEO of Faith Prayers.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about CEO.
Life coach.
The one who tries to keep up with it.
Yeah, keep up with all the volunteers. And this is River Washing, chapter 28.
Thank you. Okay. River Washing. There were a few ways out of our mission station, and all involved fording more than one river. One road led through a river that was notorious for problems, especially in the rainy season. Thankfully, we did not need to go that way quite as often. The other main dirt road also led through two or three rivers, including the largest in our area, the Turgway. Many women of the surrounding villages went to the Turgway to wash their family's clothing. They chose the wide Turgway because it was swift. The water came coursing down rapidly over the rocks, yet they could still maintain footing, and if an article of clothing got caught in the water, it was retrievable with a quick response.
Like those quick responses.
The women scattered through the rocky, cold river water, beating on their clothes to clean them, and then dousing them in the running water. When a piece was finished, it was carefully laid out on a higher rock or across low tree branches to be bleached dry in the hot sun.
You know, we oftentimes take for granted having a washer and dryer. I mean, it's just something that most all households, many households have, and that's how you do everything.
Yeah.
It's done
pretty
quickly. In fact, you're multitasking. You throw some in the washer, then you go do something, and then you wait
Leave
for the buzzer.
For 2 days,
and then,
then
go into the dryer, and, wow.
Clothes washed this way are clean. It may seem surprising now, with our plethora of washers, machines, level guides, and detergent choices, but it's amazing what clear, running water beating on a rock with soap and bleaching them in the sun can accomplish. A little rough on the clothes, perhaps, but it worked.
Mm-hmm.
Cleanliness matters, not as a definition of value, but in an operational sense. It gets harder and harder for us to operate when dirt and grime set in. Have you ever tried to make an important decision with things out of control around you? Sitting in your kitchen with unwashed dishes piled up, with laundry overflowing the hampers, and the floors grimy and unmopped, it's hard to think. Your mind feels disordered and cluttered. It's easy at those times to make reactionary decisions, not a proactive one.
This is totally true. You're reading into my mind, because I tell Holly all the time, I got to get things organized. Yeah. I got to get my vertical surfaces straightened. I need to, you know, get closure on these things so it can free up my brain to
think creatively. It does. It frees up mental space.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, totally. Imagine sitting in the same room with glistening curtains, clean floors, bright counters, and a cup of coffee. You can focus. You can think. You can hear. And how does all this work spiritually? When we are rid of the sins that bind, our understanding is different. Our listening, suddenly unencumbered. We don't get as easily misled. Our decisions are more centered. As David the psalmist said, "Have mercy on me, O God. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from sin." Psalm 51, 1 and 2. The cleaned-up state of our lives does not in any way determine God's love and watch care over us. It very well may, though, determine the clarity with which we can hear. It might help or hinder our ability to go further in with God. "Created me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Psalm 51:10. I have learned how it feels when I'm aware of God's work in cleaning up my heart, and when my spirit seems right. But what does it look like? For me, it looks like startlingly white clothes, clean as can be, drying on rocks under an African sun as hot as blazes, and next to a brilliantly cold running river. They'd been through a lot to get clean, those clothes, but I'd wear them in a minute. They were beautiful, and truly clean. Father, I pray for the desire to allow you to clean my life as you see fit. To make me a vessel that's usable and durable, I pray that I will always gravitate toward your will and that I will not falter as my life is shaped to do your work. I pray that my spirit will be one of joy and not of sorrow, that I will embrace your work in my life as you make me a sparkling and steadfast child of yours.
River Washing, chapter 28, Memories of an African Son. You know, as you were reading, I was thinking of that story where, I'm not even sure if it's Jesus, but like if you have something against somebody, if you're going to worship and you have something against something, it's again, it's one of those things that's hindering that connectivity to God and to mankind, to others. And it's just like, because when things are unsettled, when things are disorganized, when things are a mess,
that's right,
you can't be as efficient or as attentive. I think of somebody who used that illustration. It's like when you're tuning in your radio, the old radios, now it's all digital. You can land exactly on, you know, 89.3 or 102.5.
And those are the places to go.
Subtly, let me plant that 89.3, 102.5, 103.9, 97.1. But in the old analog radios with the big dials, you would have to kind of turn it to the right, turn it to the left.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there would be static or it wouldn't be really
clear. To
hit
right on that place, that bandwidth.
And so that's kind of when we have disorder all around us, it's that static that competes with God's voice. Sometimes our affections, you know, wander to other worldly things, and again, we're not focused on God, and so it's
very important. I agree with you. I think whether it's like spiritual things or whether it's, you know, just holding a grudge, these things take up space, and we're trying to clear space. Mental space, emotional, spiritual space.
And we have space for, I think, one more chapter.
Okay, all right.
We have about 7 minutes. This is chapter 29.
I'll try.
Let's see, 29, is that?
Yeah, that's 20? Right.
How do you say this?
Frangipani and mahogany.
Okay, thank you. Rescued me out of that one.
Yeah, I got you.
Frangipani.
No, not frangipani. That's like some
Frangipani.
Commercial or Sesame Street or something. Frangipani.
Frangipani. I should get that. It's a Frangipani.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's great.
Well, you had your Italian friends you were talking about. You're going to be doing a story in the January edition.
Oh, I am. You betcha.
Yeah. Be ready to read that
one. I like them.
Okay.
On our mission station in Zimbabwe, I had a bedroom that would rival some I've seen in glossy magazines. The other day at the local bookstore, I saw magazine pictures of glamorous men and women carefully posed in front of a quite simple but exotic villa bedroom that charged thousands of dollars a night. And the thought crossed my mind, I had a bedroom like that once. Strange, isn't it? But I did. It was not fancy. It was a simple, rustic room with wide window screens framed with wooden panels, and outside of it stood the rich beauty of Africa. It was surrounded on one side by mahogany trees, and on the other by frangipani trees, and that was just the beginning. Behind the curtain of gorgeous trees was a large swath of land that contained so many beautiful, outstanding flowers. A riot of flame lilies grew near my windows. Behind the many subtropical flowers stood one of the huge granite outcroppings, or koppies, as the Dutch named them. A path wound its curving way past my windows and through the trees to meander on down the hill. I was older when I realized that people take expensive vacations to go to exotic places, like the path outside my bedroom window. The house itself had a pleasant stone fireplace, and verandas encircled almost the entire structure to let the breeze in from every angle. The view from the front step rivaled probably any in the world. The massive African savanna surrounded by a semicircle of hills dotted with villages, and in the center an open vista where one could see the faraway misty blue and purple mountains that formed the border with Mozambique. Thinking about it all got me to wondering, what is exotic anyway? Is it the glistening snow on an old city lamppost in Chicago? Or is it green corn growing for miles on end, waving gently in the breeze? Maybe it's a lush New England pathway and covered bridge. Perhaps it's gigantic ocean waves crashing in on a cove, reminding us of pirates and hidden treasure, or the golden sun setting over the desert. Perhaps our angst is that it is we, ourselves, who have somehow grown jaded or tiresome, not our beautiful planet. Perhaps it's we who are in need of reawakening to the magnificence around us this very moment. People travel all around, searching for a beautiful spot of nature. They find it, are filled up briefly, and then slowly dissolve again into what they term a mundane existence. These are the eternal vacationers, searching for something to fill a lonely place inside. I wonder if that remains the difference between the vacationers and those who have a love of nature deep in their hearts. Those who love nature see its beauty everywhere, in the rock by the road, in the bird overhead, in the tall grass by the creek. The book of Ecclesiastes says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. Ecclesiastes 3:11. I like that. The gorgeous mahogany trees outside my bedroom produced a beautiful hardwood, much in demand. I had many of the glossy black pod seeds with their bright red tops just laying around my room as a decoration. I thought they were pretty. I could lie on my bed or open the doors to my own little private veranda off the bedroom and allow the wondrous fragrant aroma of the flowering frangipanis to drift in, carried by the breeze. The lovely frangipani flowers started off as a cream color, changing to a deep yellow before they dropped off the tree, which was also a beautiful sight as they lay across the ground. It was a splendid, peaceful way to fall asleep. But there was also the fact that each morning in that bedroom, I had to tap my shoes on the bed rail before putting them on to make sure no scorpions, especially the baby ones, had crawled inside during the night. They seemed to like to do that, getting right down into the toe of the shoe. And it was common practice to tap shoes before putting them on, to rout out the scorpions. And of course, this was the bedroom that had been the target of the python we had encountered on our very first day, the one that was shot off the face of the earth by the kind missionary lady we were staying with. And as well, the house where the green mamba liked to sun itself of an afternoon. But It was exotic, as per current definitions. So is my cast iron bird bath out in the yard. Exotic, I mean. I was just refashioning the bolts the other day so it wouldn't tip over, and I refilled it with fresh water as I do each and every day. The water sparkled in the morning sun as it splashed in. Suddenly, a flaming red cardinal darted by, watching for the new water. That, too, is exotic. Hmm. Father, don't let my views and understanding of beauty be limited, of people or of places. Let me see the real beauty. Open my eyes like the eyes of an artist to see the hues of color as they play across your world. To see the single red flower in the path of gray stones. Open my eyes to see the beauty in an old woman's face. When she smiles her charming smile and her eyes light up when I come in the room.
Hmm. Many of us can think of picturesque places, and those are easy, but are we also seeing others, other people, with the eyes of Jesus?
Yeah.
Are we valuing them, created in God's image, beloved by God? Do we have that same awe? I realize that we don't agree with everyone. We have different political parties, different upbringings, different backgrounds, various things, but do we really value them as God would want us to value them?
Yes.
Oh, Memories of an African Son. Get your copy today here at the Great News Radio Center. It'd be a great stocking stuffer, great gift to give friends, including yourself. Treat yourself to a copy of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins, available here at the Great News Radio Center. And as you travel over, have your radio tuned to one of our four frequencies. And remember, this Friday, It's a Wonderful Life will be broadcast during the morning edition of Mark and Friends in its entirety, and then also in the evening again. And then we'll probably have it during the weekend. I'm still working out time slots on when that'll be available.
Great.
And then when you travel over on Saturday to Marketplace Mall in Champaign at noon, get seated by noon. Come a little early so you can get your parking and get in there because we expect a full house.
Yeah.
The Singing Men of GNN along with the Great News Radio Children's Choir will be presenting at noon, probably noon till 1:15 or so, it seems like, with the amount of songs and the sharing. It'll go about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. So get seated, enjoy the singing of God-honoring Christmas carols and music that'll lighten your load, and it'd be a blessing and encouragement during this Advent season. So that's this Saturday. So make a date of it. We'll hopefully have you tuned in on Friday and all week long. Christmas music through the end of the year, and then hope to see you in the food court at noon, Marketplace Mall in Champaign. Bring a friend, load up your car with family members, and let's make a date.
Yay!
Hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.